This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Hello, my lovely mutants. It's been an age between episodes, but I've been very busy working on a few projects, which I'll be able to tell you about in due course. I hope you've all been well, though. Quick update on chimerism testing. I'm seeing another specialist on July 3 for further testing. As I said, this process takes ages, so don't believe anyone on social media who claim to be chimeras without having done any testing. We'll keep you posted. Today's episode is on birthmarks. As you know, my name is Mish, and I'm your chief mutant, but short for Michelle. Why? Because I have a turtle-shaped birthmark on my butt, and my mother thought it would be appropriate to call me My Shell. Michelle. Lols, that's actually a joke and did not happen at all. But it does fit, because I actually do have a turtle-shaped birthmark, but that is not the reason why I was called Mish. But I literally just thought of that joke now. All those wasted years, I've never used it. Anyway, birthmarks are distinctive and often permanent marks on the skin that are visible at birth or develop shortly thereafter. They can vary widely in size, shape, colour, and type, and are usually harmless. They can either be vascular or pigmented. Birthmarks can range from very small spots to large patches that cover significant portions of the body. They can have regular or irregular borders. Some might have a smooth outline, while others are more blotchy. Their colours vary widely from shades of red and purple to brown, black, or even blue, depending on your skin type and the type of the birthmark. Some birthmarks, like certain hemangiomas, I've probably butchered that word, sorry, don't come at me, they grow and then they shrink. Others, like moles or café au lait spots, might remain throughout life. That's what I have, a café au lait in the shape of a turtle. Some are flat and smooth, lying flush with the skin, while others might be raised and bumpy and have like a rough texture. Generally, birthmarks are harmless and don't require any treatment unless it's cosmetic. However, some, particularly those that are large or located in sensitive areas, might pose, like I said, cosmetic concerns or rarely health risks if they affect muscle or nerve function. Certain types, like congenital melanocytic nevi, might have a higher risk of developing into melanoma later in life. And although birthmarks are typically benign, their appearance can affect a person's self-esteem, especially if they are large or located on visible parts. However, I have noticed on advertising, you guys probably have noticed as well, and on catwalks, that models have really been embracing their visible birthmarks instead of covering them up like they used to do or Photoshop them out, which is really great to see. So as mentioned, there are two types of birthmarks, the vascular birthmarks. Now these are caused by blood vessels that may not have formed correctly. They are typically red, purple, or pink and can appear anywhere on the body. Vascular birthmarks include hemangiomas, often called strawberry marks, and you may know that from little babies. Sometimes they're born without a birthmark, and then a couple of days later they get these raised bright red marks that look like strawberries. They appear within the first few weeks, but generally they can fade away, but you can actually get them removed as well. Port wine stain birthmarks. These are flat pink, red, or purple marks that appear at birth and are caused by swollen blood vessels under the skin. They don't fade over time and they actually may become darker or thicker, but I think there are treatments where you can like get them lasered lighter and things like that as well. Then there's salmon patches or Nevus simplex. These are flat pink patches that often appear on your neck or forehead or abdomen. They're common and typically fade during childhood. I actually have a salmon patch on my rib and it gets brighter if I exercise. My previous doctor told me it was a mark made from my breast. Now, I know gravity will get us all at some point, but trust me, my boobs don't hang that low yet. Anyway, pigmented birthmarks. These birthmarks are caused by clusters of pigment cells and are usually brown, grey, blue, or black. Common types include café au lait spots. These are light brown spots which may increase in number or size with age. Multiple café au lait spots are sometimes associated with genetic conditions like neurofibromatosis. Mongolian spots. These are flat, bluish-grey patches, often found on the lower back or buttocks. They are common in people of Asian, Hispanic, African, or Indigenous descent and usually fade by about school age, so say 5, 6. There have been some famous people made even more recognisable by their birthmarks, and probably the most famous person, I think, would be Mikhail Gorbachev, the former leader of the Soviet Union. He's perhaps one of the most famous people with a birthmark. He had that large, dark birthmark on his forehead. Tina Turner also had a large birthmark on her upper right thigh, which you could see in her very skimpy stage outfits. Drew Brees, he was an NFL quarterback, quite famous, and he had a prominent birthmark on his right cheek, and it would become more visible during his games because as he exercised, it then got brighter. And then you have King Harold II of England. According to legend and some historical chronicles, King Harold, who ruled England briefly before his death at the Battle of Hastings in 1066, had a birthmark above his right eye. This mark supposedly helped identify his body after the battle, which was left on the battlefield. And Aristotle, the ancient Greek philosopher, he was reputed to have a distinctive mark on his back, which some sources speculate was a large birthmark. So, you know, if you do have a birthmark, you're in very good company. Birthmarks have also featured in literature as a defining feature of characters. There's a book by Nathaniel Hawthorne called The Birthmark. So obviously that revolves around a scientist who becomes obsessed with removing a small hand-shaped birthmark on his wife's cheek, believing it mars her perfection and makes her imperfect. And the whole story is about his obsession about getting rid of that on her behalf. No thank you. And then there's Puddinhead Wilson by Mark Twain. A character called Roxy has birthmark and plays a critical role in the plot involving identity swapping and societal views on race and status. In film, on Netflix, there's Dracula Untold, and I think it becomes more apparent in season 2, but Prince Vlad, Vlad the Impaler, has a noticeable facial birthmark, but it's very sort of supernatural kind of birthmark, and it comes out and is more apparent when he actually is Dracula. And Red Dragon in Red Dragon, the character Francis Dolaride, also known as Red Dragon, has a significant set of birthmarks on his back, which he believes resembles a dragon, and well, yeah, it does, and deeply ties into his psychological state and the horrific acts he commits, so that's not great. Anyway, the beauty of the imperfection of birthmarks are the basis for a theme of artworks by two renowned artists. Brooklyn-based artist Selena Leroy uses her art to promote awareness and reduce the stigma around vascular birthmarks. She has one herself, and every portrait she paints is, most of the portraits she paints are people with birthmarks. Then there's the Brazilian artist Guillaume Maison. He also paints people with birthmarks and genetic mutations. They're quite beautiful, quite a lovely, striking set of paintings. In medieval art, saints were also often depicted with birthmarks as a sign of being touched by God. Birthmarks have been surrounded by an array of myths, legends, and folklore across different cultures and historical periods. This is always my favourite part, you guys know that. It's often imbued with deep symbolic meanings or seen as omens. Here are some of the fascinating stories and beliefs associated with birthmarks. There's quite a lot. So reincarnation marks. In many cultures, birthmarks are believed to be linked to past lives. One common legend is that birthmarks represent wounds or scars from a previous life, indicating how a person died in their past incarnation. This belief is particularly prevalent in cultures that support a reincarnation worldview, such as in parts of Asia. So clearly, I used to be a turtle. Maternal impressions. This is a big thing in my culture, a widespread belief in medieval Europe and still found in various cultures today. I know my best friend also has this belief as well, is that a mother's experiences or unfulfilled cravings during pregnancy could cause birthmarks. For example, if a pregnant woman did not eat a strawberry she craved, her child might be born with a strawberry birthmark. Witch marks. In the times of witch hunts, particularly in medieval Europe and colonial America, moles and birthmarks were often considered witch marks. You know, the old trope of, you know, the witch with the big nose and should always have like a big wart or mole at the end of it. These marks were believed to be where a witch had made her pact with the devil, serving as a sign of her betrayal of humanity and communion with evil forces. I'm just going to take a break there because if you think about all my symptoms, I've got like the heterochromia, I have the immunology on one side of my body, I've got a birthmark, like I would not have survived. I don't think I would have got past birth, actually. I think the moment my eyes turned brown and green, I think I would have been done for. They would have left me in the forest full of wolves, I reckon. Anyway, back to it. Signs of nobility. In some cultures, specific birthmarks were considered auspicious and a sign of future greatness or nobility. For instance, birthmark on the face or head was sometimes interpreted as a sign that the individual was destined for greatness because they were very intelligent. It can also be seen as the mark of the devil. Some folklore link birthmarks to evil, suggesting that they were marks of the devil. If the devil was a turtle. This was particularly emphasized during periods of superstition and fear of the supernatural. Omens of destiny. In some cultures, specific types of birthmarks are seen as omens and signs of destiny. For instance, a birthmark on the right shoulder could be interpreted as a sign of future greatness or leadership, while a mark on the left has less favorable meanings. Sorry to anyone who has a birthmark on their left shoulder. Don't believe these superstitions. Protective marks. Conversely, in some traditions, birthmarks are viewed as lucky or protective. They might be seen as an angel's kiss or a special sign that someone who has previously passed away is protecting them. So one notable story, and you probably all know this as well, in regards to mythology, and that features a French royal baby with a birthmark, and I think it's a clover. It involves King Louis VIII of France. According to legend and some historical accounts, Louis VIII was born with a red birthmark in the shape of a clover. This was interpreted as a divine sign. It had like a floral symbol. So that was associated with French royalty and is symbolic of purity and the Holy Trinity. The presence of this birthmark was seen as a positive omen and was used to affirm the legitimacy of his birth and divine right to rule. It was considered a sign that God had marked him as a true heir to the throne of France. This legend adds a mystical quality to the birth of a king during time when signs and symbols were often interpreted as manifestations of the divine regarding the rulership and the destiny of nations. And I don't know, I remember some like classic Hollywood films. I can't recall the name or anything, but I remember it was based around that, and there was a fake king on the throne, and they found the real king, and they pulled down the baby's nappy, and it had a little clover birthmark, and I was like, yay, the king. Anyway, birthmarks are not just a physical characteristic. It is a part of the mosaic that makes you unique and memorable, and it can be a sign of resilience, a mark of individuality, and even a source of empowerment. By embracing your birthmark, you contribute to a more inclusive and compassionate world where every person can feel confident and valued, not in spite of their natural differences, but because of them. Let your birthmark or any mutation be a point of pride. As society continues to grow in acceptance and appreciation of diverse forms of beauty, stand confident in your uniqueness. After all, it is your individual traits that make you irreplaceably you. Perfectly imperfect and mutant. Bye.